Morning, Suv.
Morning.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good. Thank you so much for being available this time of the morning. And we're keen to hear more about the dispute. You want to tell us what happened?
All right, no worries. Well, there's a bit of background just to sort of frame this dispute. We have a big multinational brewer called Star Miller who owns CUB. And with billions of dollars of turnovers, they somehow managed to pay no tax. If they can afford to pay their CEO.
Surprise, yes.
This year he's in for a $62 million bonus. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself where that money comes from. If at the same time, it's a coincidence, they're dipping their hands in the pockets of working class people, you know, who actually make their beer. But it's a big multinational. They don't pay tax, so they're not contributing to our society in any sort of meaningful way. And to top it off, they're attacking Australian workers. And they've put in place through contractors, you know, and it is all CUB. There's been a little bit of talk out there that, oh, you know, it's not CUB, they're not direct employees of CUB. CUB have engaged these contractors on the terms that CUB wished for it to be done. And if CUB wasn't happy with what was happening, they would terminate any contracts. So they've fussed in scabs from interstate. They've flown over scabs from West Australia and New South Wales because they're having trouble finding Victorians to do these jobs. To scab while these blokes are out the front, because Victorian seems to be made of a bit better stuff than some of our brothers and sisters from the state. Yeah, it is the home of unionism, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And also, I guess we're talking about skilled jobs here as well. This is why it's hard for them to actually find that many scabs from one particular place.
Oh well, they just can't. They don't have the skill set required. These electricians here. These guys do a 5-year apprenticeship. So the normal apprenticeship is 4 years for an electrician. These guys do a 5-year apprenticeship because they're a dual trade. So they're not only are they electricians, they're instrumentationists, and they are very highly skilled. And all you have to do, if you have any doubts about the skill of these workers, is come down to this factory and you can see the amount of beer coming out of here in comparison with before the dispute. And the numbers speak for themselves. The production has just fallen by more than 50%. So there's breakdowns everywhere and they just can't fix the stuff. And there's 906 years of combined experience in this workforce sitting out the front here, ready, willing and available to do the work. All they ask is that they're treated with the same dignity as 10,000 other electricians on the same agreement that they were on at the start of this dispute, and not have an agreement from Western Australia imposed upon them.
And let me just clarify one issue. They aren't migrant workers who are brought in to take cheap labour, are they?
The scab workforce?
Yes.
No. Well, it's a time of high unemployment, and you know, there's plenty of people looking for work. But it seems like these people have just got anyone who will actually do the work. They don't have the skill set to complete the work, but they're here basically just to provoke this workforce here, so they can get a court order on us and get us taken away from the front of the workforce, because they don't like us here. We're down the headquarters constantly. And we're making sure that they hear our voices. And this isn't, you know, one of the third world backwaters that they're used to doing this sort of behaviour in all the time, these big multinationals. This
That's
is a
right.
first world country, democracy. Mm. We have the right to protest and the right to speak out, and we will do so.
And the right to strike.
Yeah. One interesting question that this brings up is, you know, a legal question I have is, you know, how is Carlton and United Brewery actually able to sort of get away with, you know, sacking workers and then offering them, offering them their jobs, offering them to reapply for their jobs at a 65% pay cut? How is this, you know, legal, and how are they able to get away with it?
The beauty of the Fair Work Act and all its loopholes.
Oh, God.
Yes, I don't exactly want to write a how-to guide for all the bad bosses out there, but just to put it in simple terms, if you use, and it started in the 90s, I suppose, widespread use of outsourcing workforces, and it's, you know, it's a sham. They outsource a workforce, and then the actual client can claim it's not them as the employer. So you have a middleman in between the employment relationship, and then you can change them willy-nilly like your socks. And this is one of the worst things about the Fair Work Act. An agreement, when you negotiate an agreement, at the end of the negotiation, an agreement's put out and the workers vote on the outcome. But one of the loopholes in the Fair Work Act is that you can impose an agreement that's previously been voted on onto a workforce. You hire, say you've had three people in a workshop somewhere do an agreement, you know, and that could be, you know, with threatening visas or whatever it might be, you get a very, very, very poor agreement up, and then you can hire an extra 100 people and have them taken under the terms of that agreement, and that agreement might be in place for the next, you know, 4 years is the longest term under the Fair Work Act. So we see this, and it takes the democracy out of actually getting an agreement up, which is, you know, we're a democratic society. We're supposed to have democracy in all aspects of our lives, and your working life is, you know, 30% of your time. So, yeah, they basically just took the democracy out of these guys. These guys have had no say, no input, and this agreement's just been imposed upon them.
And the ETU is a state union, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, we're the Victorian branch of the ETU. Nationally, we're the CPU.
And what's the political stuff behind this, that's, if any? It's a state government saying anything, because it's such an atrocious situation for workers to be in.
Well, and we have had a couple of things. We had Adam Bandt yesterday from the Greens come and speak at the rally at the headquarters. So every Thursday at 12 o'clock, we've been rallying at the headquarters of CUB and in South Bank. And we had Adam Bandt there yesterday, and he called upon Malcolm Turnbull to speak out about this injustice. And he was speaking about how, you know, in this day and age, it's possible for big multinationals to behave in this manner, and how we should have laws in place to stop that. And, I mean, we just had Michaela Cash, I think it was last week, the week before, speaking out and saying that, you know, there's a big worry for the merger of the CFMEU and the NUA. They're saying it should pass the public interest test because two large unions with economic resources is a worry to the public, where at the same time we've just had this beer company here, Saab Miller, merge with InBev, to the two biggest brewers in the world, and it was over $100 billion deal.
Yes.
And now 90% of the beer market is run by one company.
Right. So, and speaking of sort of different unions cooperating, the Manufacturing Workers Union the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union has also been part of the dispute. From what I understand, there are also members and organisers on the ground. How is the cooperation? How has the joint work been going with those comrades?
Absolutely fantastic. I can't speak highly enough about our brothers in the Metal Workers Union, and we're sitting on down here at the picket line at the moment, just inside the car. But yeah, it's brought us closer together than ever. You know, their organiser, Roche, is fantastic. You know, we've had good backing from the metal workers on a national level as well. They've got a fantastic PR department. They've been giving it to all the CUV products on Facebook, which has been fantastic. But no, the metal workers and the ETU, we do have a strong bond across many workplaces, because we're often in the same agreement, and we're in maintenance just due to our trades. Fitters and electricians usually work together pretty side by side. And tell you what, if these blokes weren't really good mates before this dispute, they're like brothers now when you look at them together on this picket line. And their resolve just gets harder every day, and their bond gets closer every day. And I can't see these guys breaking or losing. They're just getting bigger and stronger every day.
And what's the role of the Victorian Trades Hall in this dispute at the moment, Steve?
Okay, so this dispute broke out about 2 weeks before the federal election. So
yes.
This is the fifth week that we've been going, and Trades Hall was tied up in the election campaigning leading up to the dispute. But since then, we've had Luke Hilikari come down a couple of times. He actually brought down scarves for us, which was pretty handy.
It's gold, yes.
The other morning.
Yes.
But, I think there's been a bit of work and cooperation behind the scenes with Trades Hall coordinating between our unions and our secretaries. And I think as this dispute ramps up and it is getting bigger and bigger, we had the front page of The Age this week and
Channel 9
last night. So as this gets bigger and bigger, I think Trades Hall is probably going to kick it up a few notches. I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see tens of thousands of workers, you know, start to mobilise in the streets if this continues on much longer.
And well, Steve, you need to.
Yeah, and Steve, I think I might have come up with a good with another good sort of phrase for the dispute. You know, Victorian Trades Hall Council helping out. How's this? Scarves, not scabs.
It's a good slogan.
Yeah, scarves from the unions, no scabs from the bosses.
Okay, and ACTU on board yet?
Yeah, the ACTU were in contact last night. One of our blokes, he spoke at the rally yesterday. He spoke really well, and it's important that people see that the people in this dispute are just family men. They're just people like, you know, you and I. They're just normal blokes.
Yep.
And one of our fellows, which is a scary thing to do, to speak up, you know, against your employer, a big multinational, and one who's pretty vindictive at that. And he spoke out yesterday, and the ACTU got in touch and said, look, can we use his, you know, his photos and his words, because it's pretty powerful stuff. Can we use him? So it looks like the ACTU is starting to get involved and ramping up as well, which would be fantastic.
Mm. The key thing is, I mean, having been involved in a few strikes myself, it's the state of the workers. It must be hard. You've been out for 5 weeks now. It's no joke. And you don't have an income. How are the workers bearing up to this situation at the moment?
Well, we recently just had a shop stewards conference where we had hundreds of our shop stewards. We have one every 2 years. Right in the, I think it was during the third week of this dispute, and we passed a resolution that if this dispute goes one day over 5 weeks, then we'll be putting a $20 levy across all of our membership in many workplaces if we can get it. Now, if everyone pays, that's $400,000 a week. Now, I don't anticipate that we'll get every single one of our members paying. There'll be some workforces just due to the, you know, the nature of logistics, etc. That will be an impossibility, I'd imagine. But I think you'll find that we are able to look after these guys financially. You know, from next week when this levy gets going, I think there's no worries about them being starved back to work. Let's put it that way.
That's usually the biggest worry about workers being forced back to work because of family commitments and so on. It's really hard to pay the bills, especially these days.
We've had some great financial contributions from other unions. The MUA in West Australia donated $10,000.
Right.
I had a phone call last night from our South Australian branch that donated thousands of dollars and a slab of Coopers for each of the blokes. We had a local brewer called Brew Brewery. They came down last night and dropped off 54 slabs, one for each of the lads.
Whoa.
You know, so,
very important supply.
Yeah, well, they've given us the flags and things, so I don't think there's a problem with supporting, you know, good Australian brewers. There's plenty out there, and you don't necessarily have to go with this behemoth, this big multinational that now has cornered 90% of the beer market. There's other options, and we'll be having talks with Coopers, who's a Australian made, and they've got union agreements in there, and they look after their workers. We're going to start some talks with Coopers, see if we can build some bridges and work together on this and show, you know, the Australian public there are other choices out there with more at the bottle-o and some more ethical choices during this sort of a thing.
So just to remind listeners, who are the owners of this brewery at the moment?
Okay, so we have a South African company called Saab Miller, who own CUB. Now, they've just taken part in a merger with InBev, a massive, big, huge company, just like Saab Miller. And now we've got a...
Well, where are they from?
American off the top of my head. They've got a funny name that's got a bit of German in it, but you know how all these multinationals are?
Yep.
They put their headquarters in all sorts of places.
That's
and
right.
They get the best tax jurisdictions they can possibly find. They're a massive conglomerate now, so it's huge, 90% of the beer market, they reckon.
So they're foreign companies. For me, you know, the interesting thing is, given the looming TPP agreement, I'm wondering if these guys are actually pushing the limits to see how they can reduce workers' wages. And ETU has been a very strong union historically. What do you think is the background of this? That's a massive wage reduction. I mean, this is totally, totally atrocious, beyond imagination. 65% wage drop is... there's no precedence for this sort of reduction in wages. Where do you think this push is coming from, if at all?
Okay, well, they didn't do their homework before they pulled this on for starters. We've got a history book that you can get about the ETU, and it runs over about the last 112 years, which is, we've been around for 114 years. It goes through our 114-year history, and it goes through some of our disputes, and it goes through some of the disputes, you know, you went for 8 months and all the rest of it. And I don't think the company did its homework on Victoria, Melbourne unions, and especially not the ETU. And they've sent in this industrial toe cutter. We've coined him the Lord High Executioner down here. He's from Saab Miller, and apparently he goes around, his job is to go from brewery to brewery and either shut them down or gut their workforce and try and squeeze every last dollar out of it. A bloke by the name of Gary Woodburn. And he's their toe cutter, and he's come, and he has no understanding of this community. He has no understanding of this workforce. And I think before he threw out 906 years of combined service out into the street, I don't think he realised what these guys actually do.
Yeah, that's usually the case, isn't it?
But yeah, I think the agenda is, there's been talk that potentially they want to put CUB itself on the Australian stock market, and they're going to gut it before they do that to try and make it better priced. But, you know, it's no one saw this attack coming. And this is the point I made at the rally yesterday. You know, we have over 600 companies in Victoria that covers about 10,000 electricians, all on the same agreement. And these boys are on that agreement. And we're saying that, you know, they are no different to all these other Sparkies. You know, they don't deserve $1 less. And that's why we're saying this isn't just an attack on the workers at the Abbotsford Brewery. This goes a lot further. This attacks those other 10,000 electricians that are on the same agreement. It goes further than that. It attacks our whole industry and our community, the living standards of Australian workers. This is a big dispute.
It is.
And it's very important that we do get people understanding the ramifications if this company is able to pull this off.
I think it's broader than the ETU, personally speaking, because if they can do this to one of the strongest unions and in Victoria, which has a very strong labour history, they can do it to anybody else. That's what the biggest fear, at least from what I'm thinking. If they can beat the ETU, it's like how they destroyed the BLF in the 90s, you know. It's got that flavour to it. But as you say, it could be a certain naivety, but it could be seen as something that the Liberal Party want to promote as well, because if they can, you know, destroy a strong union, it's to their advantage.
Well, good luck to them. It's cost them millions of dollars so far, and I'll tell you, we're at week 5, and the grand final's coming up. Spring Racing Carnival's on the horizon. And I'll tell you what, they've already lost millions now. If they want this dispute to go on for months, I have a message for their shareholders. Your money will be going down the drain. It will cost them tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, the longer this dispute goes on. This place apparently does $1 million a day in profit when it's running at full steam. So, you know, that's money that could have been reinvested. They could have covered the roof in solar panels. They could have, you know, trained all the workers further. They could have put in a training center. They could have given to charity. They could have, you know, invested in more highly efficient machines. There's a million different ways I can think of investors and shareholders and CEOs and executives can spend company money better than just trying to lay the boot in and try and do a bit of union busting, because it won't work. You won't union bust this joint. It's over 100 years of history in this place, generations and generations of workers, and I'll tell you what, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. If you have a look at our, come down to our picket line, we went around to Hard Rubbish a couple of days ago, and now we've got a full complement of leather sofas and recliners that we've managed to pick up off people's front lawns.
Yes.
And, we've got the best barbecue you've ever seen. We've got the truck set up. We're settling in for the long haul.
Yeah, I like to attest to the fact that it is one of the best barbecues that there were. I was down at the on Monday there for the at the picket line. So I urge everybody who's listening to come down to the CB Brewery over in Abbotsford, support the ETU workers, and have a bite of their burgers and sausages. They are truly
awesome. Solidarity
sausage. Exactly. Solidarity sausage.
And many of our comrades have actually already been done. So, Steve, what is the message you'd like to send to listeners of 3CR? How can I support you guys?
Well, today it's us. Tomorrow it could be you or the workplace your family's working. And the most important thing you can do is get down here to the brewery at 22 Southampton Crescent in Abbotsford. And like our comrade just said, on Mondays we put on a breakfast and a lunch. But anytime you're welcome to come down. And we've upgraded our barbecue since you've been here too much.
So, yeah, Dennis, we've gone upgrade.
So come down and just hear the stories of these blokes, and you'll see they're no different to anyone else in our society. And you'll start to pick up some of the vibes around this dispute and see that this is, you know, this is the next Patrick's dispute. You know, this is a game changer for industrial relations in this country. And we don't win it. If the community doesn't get behind this, if we are somehow not strong enough to win this dispute, there will be consequences rippling across the entire economy and the entire society, and we cannot afford to do that in 2016.
Okay, that's great. And I hope the people who are listening take note of the address so that they can turn up anytime. You're there 24 hours, yes?
No, at the moment we're here from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Monday to Friday.
It's a long shift.
Yeah, it is, but... obviously pretty hard on the families of these blokes, so we thought rather than have them around the clock in the middle of winter, you know, give them...
It's too cold, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, it's more about the families, you know, because it's very stressful on the blokes' wives and children, et cetera, and, you know, we didn't want to take them away from it. It's bad enough that, you know, Daddy's been thrown out in the cold, hard winter into the gutter in Melbourne, and if Daddy's never home, it's even worse, you know, so...
So that's the human side of all this, isn't it, where the families suffer?
Well... When you lower people's wages, the standard of living goes down.
Absolutely.
And the opportunities they can provide to their children. You know, that's reality.
And how many of these
are not a victimless crime. It is not a victimless crime here. I'm looking at the victims right now in front of me.
Yeah. And also the fact that people would have taken out mortgages for their, to, you know, they have to pay off all the stuff and in the bills. How are they going to pay it? You know, luckily you've got a strong union and great union support around the state and probably around the country. So that helps you. But imagine that happening to other unions where it's not as strong and doesn't have such a great history. So good luck to all of you. And we will be down there to see you guys. And people who work in Green Left Weekly will definitely be there to support you. You've been great to explaining the whole, you know, the ins and outs of the dispute. And we'll touch base again, and hopefully you guys will be back at work with a decent wage.
No
worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Steve.
Thanks,
Steve. All the best.
Bye. Thanks.